fifth day of this very interesting workshop already. The first speaker is Gleb Arutyunov from Utrecht, and he's going to talk about the string S matrix on a very familiar space.
Please. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to talk at this very inspiring conference. I would like to thank the organizers for the invitation. So my talk will be about ADS5 cross S5 string S matrix. So this will be talk about string theory. And it will be based on several papers I have written in collaboration with Fernando Aldai from Utrecht University and with Sergei Frolov from Albert Einstein Institute. The plan of my talk is as follows. I decided to divide the story into three parts. The first part will be a pedagogical introduction explaining that superstring theory can be treated as an integrable coset model. And to understand this issue, we need first to discuss superalgebra, whose name is PSU2.2/4. It already appeared several times during this conference, and I would like to explain some features of this superalgebra in more detail because it will be important for my further discussion. Then I will describe you the Lagrangian of string theory, of classical string theory on ADS5 cross S5 space. And I will explain that this theory is classically integrable by explicitly constructing the Lux representation, or at least explaining what is the Lux representation for this sigma model. And then an important issue, which is actually related to the problem of quantization, is the issue of fixing the gauge. And I will discuss two different types of so-called Lightcon gauges, and discuss what is the physics behind and what are the corresponding Hamiltonians and what we can learn by studying string theory in different gauges. Well, all of this discussion will be demonstrated in the toy model, which is so-called SU1/1 sector of string theory. I will explain in more detail what does it mean. And in particular, my discussion will be about how this sector, toy sector of string theory, looks like in different gauges and how it can be the corresponding problem of diagonalizing the Hamiltonian can be related to the better ansatz, to the better string beta ansatz. Well, finally, the last part of the talk will be about crossing symmetry for ADS5 cross S5 string S matrix. Here I will show that indeed the functional equation for the Dressing factor derived by Yannick is satisfied by perturbative results for the Dressing factor. Okay, so this is a plan. And before I start realizing it, I would like to give you some cornerstones of the construction concerning string theory on ADS5 cross S5. Well, we know that ADS5 cross S5 superstring involves inevitably Ramon-Ramon fields, and this makes the problem of quantization and discussion of string theory very difficult, because we cannot use the familiar NSR formulation with explicit superconformal invariance on the world sheet because of the presence of the Ramon-Ramon fields. And therefore, the only construction which is available for us is a Green-Schwarz superstring. Well, it's known that this theory is invariant with respect to reparametrizations. There is also a fermionic symmetry, often called kappa symmetry. And in addition, we have a global symmetry group, which is this PSU2.2/4. As soon as Green-Schwarz superstring was discovered, it was realized that the problem of quantizing it is rather non-trivial. And primarily, this is because the lack of irreducible separation of the constraints into the first and the second class. So these problems will never been solved properly in the past, and now it seems they strike back. So it is unclear for the moment how to construct really an exact quantization. But nevertheless, because of the successes of the better ansatz techniques in gauge theory and intuition based on the ADS-CFT duality, it's still possible to guess a certain type of better ansätze for quantum strings, for quantum string on ADS-5 process 5, which at least captures some quantum physics at leading order in certain perturbative expansion. So to proceed with a quantization problem, what we can to do is to use the same strategy as we usually use in a flat case, namely to go to the light cone gauge. And this amounts to fixing the light cone component x plus to be equals to tau, to the Weld sheet tau, and the corresponding conjugate momentum. Assume for this conjugate momentum that it's uniformly distributed along the stream. Then we can derive the gauge fixed Hamiltonian. So we fix this gauge, solve the Virasoro constraints, and derive the gauge fixed Hamiltonian. And this Hamiltonian will depend on two parameters. One of the parameters is the square root of lambda, which is a string tension. It's an overall parameter which stands in front of the Lagrangian of string theory. And on this parameter P plus, which is just a length, becomes a length of the string. So P plus is an additional parameter which appears upon the gauge fixing. So we have now the gauge fixed Hamiltonian, which is a complicated nonlinear object, and it depends on these two parameters. Well, the problem, of course, of quantizing it is rather complicated because it's pretty nonlinear system, but as usual, as often in physics, in order to understand the dynamics, we would like to find some small or alternatively some big parameter, and it seems that this P plus is a natural candidate for it. So our strategy will be to consider different simplifying limits. For example, we can study the limit where the string tension goes to infinity while the ratio square root of lambda over P plus is kept fixed. And this limit was first considered by Bernstein, Maldacena, and Nastase, and therefore we attribute it as a BMN limit. We can also study the flat space limit, which is a bit opposite. Lambda also goes to infinity, while the ratio of force root of lambda to P plus is kept fixed. And finally, an interesting limit, which attracted recently a lot of attention, is a so-called decompactification limit, where lambda is kept fixed and P plus is sent to infinity. I will explain why it's called decompactification and what precisely decompactifies in this limit. Now, the strategy will be to study this gauge fixed Hamiltonian, and in particular to understand 1 over P plus corrections to this limit. And in particular, the problem will be to extract string S matrix arising in the limit when P plus goes to infinity. Now, coming back to the first part, superstring is an integrable coset model. Well, the coset space we are discussing is the space obtained by dividing the supergroup PSU22/4 over a bosonic subgroup SO4,1 cross SO5. Well, if we restrict our attention to the bosonic subgroup of PSU22/4, then this bosonic subgroup is SO4,2 cross SO6. And when we divide it by this denominator, we obtain the coset manifold, which models ADS-5 crosses 5 space. So this can be considered as a supersymmetric generalization of the ADS-5 crosses 5 space. So what is this beast, PSU2,2/4? So the corresponding superalgebra can be said as a superalgebra of... Well, it's better to describe it by starting from the group supergroup SU2,2/4 and the corresponding superalgebra. And this superalgebra can be described in terms of 8x8 matrices. If we divide this 8x8 matrices into 4x4 blocks, then these blocks A and D are assumed to be even or bosonic, and the blocks X and Y, which are 4x4 blocks, are assumed to be fermionic or odd. So you can think about this x and y as being linear in Grassmann fermionic variables. Well, the condition that this is S U 2,2/4 is obtained by imposing these two requirements. First, the supertrace of this matrix M, which is trace of A minus trace of D, is required to be zero. And second, we impose a certain hermeticity condition, where H is Hermitian matrix whose eigenvalues are these ones. Well, in particular, you see that it has two negative eigenvalues, and it means that the bosonic subalgebra is precisely SU2,2 plus SU4. So this SU2,2 is a conformal group in four dimensions, and SU4 is half-symmetry group of n equals 4 theory. Well, in addition, we have this U1 subgroup, and this U1 subgroup is a subgroup which corresponds to the element I multiplied by identity matrix. Because if you consider an element which is I multiplied by identity matrix, this element also belongs to SU,2/4, as you can easily see from these two conditions. Namely, it has vanishing supertrace, and it also satisfies this hermeticity condition. So on the top of these two bosonic subalgebras, you also have this additional U1 element. Factoring out this U1 element corresponds to going from SU2,2/4 to PSU2,2/4. Well, factoring out this U1 subgroup is not very innocent operation because we lose a realization of this superalgebra in terms of 8x8 matrices. So the reason is simple. Since this element I multiplied by identity has non-vanishing trace, the usual trace, supertrace vanishes, but usual trace is not. So one can think that one can consider the matrices, 8x8 matrices, which are traceless. In this way, we exclude this element I multiplied by identity. But on the other hand, even if we consider two matrices M1 and M2, which are traceless, then their commutator can give you this element I multiplied by identity back, because some of the elements of the matrices M1, MN2 are fermions, are Grassmannian, and the commutator of Grassmannian matrices is in fact anti-commutator of them, and you can get this element back. So the best you can do is to consider the factor algebra. That means to consider elements, to consider the matrices, 8x8 matrices from SU2,2/4, modulo this element I multiplied by identity. The superalgebra SU2,2/4 has a Z4 gradient, which is determined by automorphism omega. It's explicitly constructed in this way with the help of the 4x4 matrix K. And this automorphism has four different eigenvalues and correspondingly four different eigenspaces. In particular, the space M0 can be precisely identified with the superalgebra SO4,1 cross SO5, which is a subalgebra we put in the denominator of the coset space. So let me also mention that in this decomposition, the eigenspaces M0 and M2 contain even elements of the superalgebra, and M1 and M3 are odd elements. Now, Lagrangian of the theory is the sum of two terms. First of all, we have Lagrangian of the sigma model, and in addition, we have this Vezzumina term. And Lagrangian can be explicitly constructed as follows. We consider a coset representative G, which describes the coset element, and we construct the flat current by using taking G minus 1 dG. And this current can be also decomposed into sum of four terms according to the gradient. A0 and A2 are even, and A1 and A3 are odd. And then the Lagrangian is constructed in this way. You take, it contains, as I mentioned, a kinetic part, which involves only the space A2, and it also contains a Vezzumina term, which does not explicitly depend on the Wolschitt metric. Here, gamma alpha beta is a Wolschitt metric, and this is a Vezzumina term. So this construction was carried out by Vena Palchinsky in Reuben. And here, kappa is a parameter whose value is fixed by requiring that the whole Lagrangian possess so-called kappa symmetry. So this kappa is fixed to be plus minus square root of lambda over 2. I will return to this question a little bit later. Now, on the top of this Lagrangian, we have also Virasoro constraints, which are equations of motion for the Wildschut metric gamma alpha beta. Now, why this Lagrangian is integrable? Well, actually, one can construct a Lax operator, and this can be done in the following fashion. We have this connection A, and we have it pieces, A0, A2, and so on. And we can try to add these pieces with arbitrary coefficients, L0, L1, and so on, and require that the corresponding operator D, the covariant derivative D alpha minus this connection L alpha, still will have zero curvature as a consequence of the equations of motion for these fields of the sigma model. It turns out that this fixes how these parameters L should depend on lambda, where lambda, well, don't confuse it, please, with the Hof-Kauplin. It's now, well, it's just the spectral parameter. And the condition, as I told you, for L alpha is the condition that the covariant derivatives must conserve, must commute in SU2,2/4. So this fixes the value of these parameters. And this shows that, in fact, the classical string on ADS5 cross S5 is an integrable model. So this goes back to the discussion, to the standard discussion of what is classical integrability and how it can be exhibited in terms of the Lax connection. Actually, it was explained in the talk of Kolya Rishetihin.
Do you have a classical R
matrix? No, no. The Poisson structure of this model is pretty complicated. For this L operator, you don't get the usual R matrix structure. And this is one of the problems to approach the quantization. Exactly, yeah. So now this theory also has a global symmetry. As I mentioned, this is PSU2,2/4. And actually, you can see it if you take a gauge, if you make a gauge transformation on the Lax connection with an element H equal to G, then it turns out that the new Lax connection is expandable in this parameter lambda in the following fashion. Namely, when you expand it at lambda, it starts not from the constant term, but from the term proportional to lambda. And therefore, when you plug this expansion to the condition of zero curvature, you will see, in fact, that the term which contains two L's should decouple because it's of square lambda, because it's of order lambda squared. And the terms which are proportional to lambda gives you this condition, which is nothing else as a condition of conservation of non-abelian current. So this current here is a global current of PSU2,2/4 symmetry, and you can think about it as an 8x8 matrix. I will return back to the discussion of this current a little bit later on. Now, what I would like to stress that actually there is an interesting and somewhat magic triangle of symmetries behind this construction of classical superstring, because it appears that just a question of integrability or existence of the Lax connection for this theory simultaneously leads to the fact that the theory possesses kappa symmetry, and also it accounts automatically the presence of the Virasoro symmetry in the model. How you can understand this? Well, first of all, integrability, is that means existence of the Lax representation, requires the parameter kappa to be equals plus minus square root of 2. And this this is precisely the value where the symmetry, kappa symmetry, shows up. This is a term in front of the, this is a parameter in front of the Vezumina term. Oh, here, sorry, here lambda is at Hof-Kauplin, yes. It's not a spectral parameter. Okay, so this is a this is now at Hof-Kauplin. Well, this value of kappa is required by kappa symmetry, and it appears that if you consider the Lax connection, which satisfies the condition of zero curvature, and perform on it a kappa symmetric variation, then this kappa symmetric variation should not destroy the condition of zero curvature. The new transform slug connection should still have a zero curvature. And it appears that this condition is satisfied if and only if Virasoro constraints are obeyed. So variation of the lux under kappa symmetry generically breaks the condition of zero curvature unless Virasoro constraints are satisfied. So this triangle seems to be so rigid that any decent quantization scheme of strings on ADS5 cross S5, I guess, should respect this symmetry, should not destroy it. Okay, now I come to the issues of gauges. So if you look at the ADS5 cross S5 metric, well, it can be written in this form, where you parameterize the ADS space by one global coordinate T, which is a global ADS time, and by four coordinates Z, so I runs from 1 to 4. So this piece explicitly depends on these coordinates. And the five-dimensional sphere can be parameterized by an angle phi, which is angle, which is just an angle variable running from 0 to 2 pi, and by four coordinates y. So I here also runs from y from 1 to 4. And the coefficients in front of these differentials, dt square and d phi square, they do not depend on t and phi, and this immediately shows that this metric has two isometries, two commuting isometries corresponding to shifts of t, constant shifts of t, and constant shifts of phi. The corresponding conjugate momentum to t is pt, and momentum conjugate to phi is p phi. And these two can be identified with the currents. Actually, they equal to time component of the Noether currents corresponding to these two isometries. And therefore, these two isometries, existence of these two isometries implies the existence of two conserved charges. One of them is a global space-time energy of the string, and the other one is a spin of string rotating over the five-dimensional sphere in the direction of phi. Now, it's convenient to discuss light-cone gauges. As usual, it's convenient to introduce the space-time light-cone coordinates. So instead of t and phi, one introduces x plus and x minus and the corresponding conjugate momenta. And I will discuss an explicit choice of the gauge, possible choice of the gauges a little bit later. But here, just let me mention that the Hamiltonian of this system, the Hamiltonian derived for this system, will be identified with P minus, as usual in the light-cone theory. Well, before I do this, let me just mention a little bit about kappa symmetry. So we have 32 fermions. From the very beginning, we have 32 real fermionic degrees of freedom. And fermions are degrees of freedom which can be put into these blocks of diagonal blocks. So 32 fermionic degrees of freedom is these two squares, two big squares. But the appropriate fixing of kappa symmetry allows to remove 16 fermions, just put them to zero. And the convenient and proper choice of the kappa symmetric gauge consists in putting these green blocks to zero. So only fermions which are off diagonal and in red squares are the fermions which will be left upon fixing the kappa symmetry. So subalgebra, which leaves the Hamiltonian invariant, and the Hamiltonian is minus P minus, as I told you before, the subalgebra, with respect to which the Hamiltonian is central, comprises two copies of SU2/2. And therefore, it's natural to call this type of gauges by SU2/2 cross SU2/2 gauges. And this precisely makes a connection with the story that Niklas told you yesterday. Now, SU2/2 gauges. In fact, this construction string theory should provide, so to say, stringy realization of SU2/2 invariant S matrix. And the general construction of SU2/2 invariant S matrix has been presented yesterday by Niklas. And it relies on three facts. First of all, one uses a symmetry. The S matrix must be symmetric with respect to the action of SU2/2 because the Hamiltonian is symmetric. Then one imposes the condition of unitarity and the factorization which manifests itself in the Young-Baxter equation. If one goes this way, one can show, as Nicholas did, that BDS ansatz can be derived. And yeah, it's here, you see. Just read it. It's here. S matrix is unique up to a scalar prefactor. Well, the dressing factor is not fixed by symmetries. Sigma is 1, yes. Sigma is 1, but, well, up to sigma, the S matrix is derived. And the symmetry algebra is extended by two additional central charges. So this extension is needed because we have a non-trivial dispersion relation which relates momenta of the excitation with the energy. And in order to get this formula, one has to go off shell. So one has to dismiss the condition of level matching and allow elementary excitation to have a non-trivial momentum. So this construction involves two non-trivial central charges which should appear upon the level matching condition is dismissed. And the question is how one can see this in string theory from the string worksheet perspective. Well, before that, I will explain a little bit about this. Let me first say what you do with bosonic variables, how you fix the gauge. And there are two natural ways to do it. The first one is so-called static uniform gauge, where you just take T, the global ADS time, and identify it with the Wiltshire time tau, and P phi, which is actually a function of sigma, is chosen to be constant by using diffeomorphism invariants. It's possible to make it constant along the string. And that's why this gauge is called uniform gauge, because the momentum is uniformly distributed along the string. And because of this identification, T with tau, the energy, the space-time energy of the string, just coincides with the Wiltshire Hamiltonian of the Lightcon gauge. Well, so in this case, when you compute conformal dimensions, you precisely compute, the space-time energy is precisely the spectrum of the Wiltshire Hamiltonian. So if you compute the spectrum, then automatically you compute the energies, the string energies, and they should be identified with the conformal dimensions on the gauge theory side. Well, you can do differently. You can impose a uniform Lightcon gauge where you fix x plus equals tau, while the corresponding conjugate momentum, p plus, is kept to be constant. And if you compare how it's expressible in terms of the global charges, you will see that p plus is just energy plus j. From this point of view, the two-dimensional Hamiltonian is not any more energy of the string. Rather, it's a difference between the energy and j. And you can look at this equation as a non-trivial equation for the energy, for the space-time energy of the string, because the two-dimensional Hamiltonian still depends on the p plus. Well, this is a usual story. You have the same in the flat space. The two-dimensional Hamiltonian depends on p plus as a parameter, but p plus, as we said, is just a sum of e plus j. So what you have is this non-trivial formula. You compute the spectrum of two-dimensional Hamiltonian depending on p plus as a parameter, and then you get a non-trivial equation to determine the energy, space-time energy of the stream. Well, as usual in the Lightcon gauge, you cannot solve the level matching condition at the classical level, but you are supposed to impose it on the states in the Hilbert space. Now, upon this special choice of the kappa symmetry and the gauge for bosonic variables, the bosonic unbroken symmetry algebra it just becomes SO4 cross SO4, which comprises four copies of SU2. And the corresponding supercharge, which I've told you, is an 8x8 matrix. Well, upon this issue of identifying matrices modulo this element, the supercharge can be depicted in the following way. Here, actually, I put two copies of SU2/2 subalgebra into blue and red blocks. So one SU2/2 is described by these red blocks, and another one is described by this blue synths. And also you see here kinematical and dynamical generators appearing on this slide. Well, the algebra should be extended by two non-trivial central charges, by CQ and CS, and they appear in the commutators of Q with Q and S with S. So this Q are generators of one SU2/2, and the other is the generators of the other one. And indeed, we recently have shown that this is the case. This superalgebra is indeed extended by two non-trivial central charges upon we dismiss the condition of level matching. So indeed, dismissing level matching allows for two non-trivial central charges. Well, now I come to another story, which is a story about quantum string beta ansatz. And the route we suggest to use is to start from classical integrability through Lux equation. Then there is a beautiful construction of KMMZ, which describes the finite gap solutions of the classical string sigma model. And then we suggest a way that these finite gap solutions should be substituted by fundamental beta equations, which provide a discrete version of these finite gap solutions. And this expression already appeared several times in this conference. So the corresponding beta ansatz contains a gauge theory S matrix addressed by this phase. And when you have this expression, you can make several checks, provided you have an explicit expression for this phase in perturbation theory. Namely, you can show that indeed this beta ansatz reduces to KMMZ equation in the thermodynamic limit when the number of excitations and simultaneously the length L goes to infinity with the ratio kept fixed. And also it reproduces correctly the near plane wave corrections to the energy computed by the Caltech group. Also, this expression reproduces the behavior of the dimension, of the anomalous dimension, at strong coupling, this famous lambda in the power of 1 over 4th. Well, you can also ask a question, what happens to this ansatz in the limit lambda goes to 0? And in our original proposal, this phase, which is a leading expression in the large large L expansion, Indeed, this phase appears to be analytic, and it defines a new long-range integrable spin chain. Also, it was shown recently by Kazakov and Gromov that this ansatz can be derived from another integrable system, which is known under the name inhomogeneous dynamical spin chain. Presumably, Volodya will mention this story. Well, also recently it was shown by Hoffman and Maldacena that this ansatz reproduces a scattering matrix of giant magnets. Now, gauge choice and relation to this quantum string beta ansatz. Well, the relation can be already seen at the level of the reduced models, simple toy models. Which can be obtained by considering the classical reduction of general string equations of motion to smaller sectors. So consistent reduction means that you switch off certain fields without contradiction with equations of motion. So the simplest possibility, it appears as follows. You can keep only T and phi and two complex fermions, and that's it. You can kill all the other fields without any contradiction with equations of motion. And it turns out that in the uniform static gauge, string theory gives you the following Lagrangian. So, it has several remarkable properties. First of all, it possesses a relativistic two-dimensional Lorentz invariance. And this is something completely non-trivial because we have completely solved the Virasoro constraints, and the original theory was not, it's a gauge fixed theory for which you get such a Lagrangian. And also, it's very interesting that the Dirac fermion here is a Wolfschmidt fermion. Although originally you start from the Green-Schwarz fermions, which were fermions of the Staggett space-time, now it's possible, it turns out that these fermionic degrees of freedom can be combined in a one Dirac fermion of the two-dimensional Wolfschmidt. Another interesting point is that actually this parameter J, which is a parameter of gauge fixing, and which describes the spin of the corresponding configuration, can be rescaled in such a fashion that it appears only in the integration region. So it defines you the integration bound of sigma variable. So you can rescale everything in such a fashion that it appears only here through this combination. And so now you can think about this parameter lambda as a parameter defining the length of the circle. And the limit J to infinity in this case clearly correspond to decompactification limit where your circle transformed into the line. This theory is integrable, and it provides you a new example of integrable system of interacting Dirac fermion in two dimensions. Well, Costa also discussed a way to derive perturbative S-matrix over so-called bare vacuum. So this is also known by now, how to compute the S-matrix starting from the reference vacuum and then think about it as, you remember this story. Now, it appears that for this simple model, the choice of the gauge, another choice of the gauge leads to dramatic simplification. Namely, if instead of the uniform gauge, one picks up the light cone gauge I described above, and this new gauge, the Lagrangian, appears to be trivial. It's just a free theory of massive Dirac fermion. And you can compute exactly energy spectrum for it. And as I told you, what you have to do is to solve this non-trivial equation for the space-time energy. What you find is this exact formula describing the space-time energy of a string as a function of J and of function of excitations numbers and I. Well, it turns out that this formula can be derived from the beta ansatz of this type. So in this case, the string S matrix can be taken of this form, where Ek are local excitation charges which are related with momenta in this fashion. So when you solve these beta equations and plug back into the energy formula, you precisely derive the energy spectrum I showed you before. And this beta ansatz nicely agrees with our proposal in the small moment approximation, that means up to the order 1 over j. And this clearly should be the case because at order 1 over j squared, interaction with fields from other sectors that has been thrown away in this reduction procedure become important. Now I come to the last theme, and this is about the Yannick equation. Well, this equation you have already seen, and this equation is important. Yeah, thank you. This is equation in quotes, parametrization of the beta ansatz in terms of two variables, x plus and x minus, which are not independent, but rather related by this relation. On the right-hand side, you see this parameter zeta, which is inverse string tension, and this will be important for me. And these variables x plus and x minus, they are related to the physical momentum p of the excitation through this formula. Actually, Niklas discussed all of this yesterday. So the energy of the excitation, of the elementary excitation, is written in terms of x plus and x minus in this way. Well, in order to check the perturbative crossing symmetry, it appears to be convenient to use another parameter, which is this parameter x. And this parameter x is related to physical momenta and x plus and x minus in this fashion. So I would like to parameterize momenta and energy of the string excitation by using this parameter x because the particle to antiparticle transformation discussed by Yannick in these coordinates appears to be very simple. It's just an inversion of this parameter x. X goes to 1 over x, correspond to particle to antiparticle transformation. Also, it's interesting to note that in this coordinate, the energy of the elementary excitation does not depend on the coupling at all. So zeta is a coupling, and x is a parameter. Well, this is string engage theory beta and zeta. As you have already heard, there are three rank one sectors, SU2, SU1 slash 1, and SL2. And the beta equations in all these sectors can be universally written in this fashion, where the corresponding string S-matrix is given by the gauge theory S-matrix, this is BDS, multiplied by this Dressen phase sigma. And what we would like to do now is to check that what we know about this perturbative factor sigma in string theory agrees with the Yannick equation, which is a consequence of the crossing symmetry relation for this model. Well, as I told you already, this factor sigma cannot be fixed by PSU2,2/4 symmetry. In order to make an agreement with ADS CFT, it should tend to zero when lambda goes to zero. And this fact appears to be universal to all sectors and the whole model. Well, this Dressen phase can be written in terms of the double sum, which involves these local excitation charges. And our original proposal for this coefficient CR is here. This is delta R plus 1 S. And then it was recently found by Hernandez and Lopez, and it was discussed Hernandez during his talk, that this correction to the leading term can be nicely obtained from considering spinning strings, loop corrections to spinning, first loop correction to the spinning string, and it's given by this formula. So now we have a prediction for the phase at two leading orders, and we can confront it with this equation derived by Yannick. So this equation written for the Dressen phase sigma takes this form. And now we would like to use our knowledge, perturbative knowledge for sigma, in order to check how this equation, if this equation is satisfied. So crossing symmetry in string theory. It's convenient to use the logarithmic version of this equation to take a log. And then when you expand the right-hand side of this equation, you obtain some simple functions parameterized by x's, and you see that you can do this up to second order in inverse string tension. And then the Dressen phase can be explicitly, charges in the Dressen phase can be explicitly summed up by using this universal function chi. So they can be summed up and also expanded in this parameter zeta. And in particular, when you summed it up, you obtained the following explicit expression. For the leading term of this AFS proposal, you get this, chi zero, which contains a logarithmic function. And then you find a subleading term, which is this Hernandez-Lopez correction. It's written now, it involves now more complicated function, which is d-log. So this is an explicit, results of an explicit computations obtained from string theory. Now, what you have to do is to plug these functions into the Dressen phase and expand in zeta and compare with the right-hand side of the Yannick equation. So indeed, when you do this, you realize that the Yannick equation is satisfied by two leading terms in the asymptotic expansion. Okay, this is very nice, but it leaves certain open problems. So the problem number one is what precisely analyticity conditions in order has to be used in order to solve this theory. Second, what are these new central charges in string theory? What is the deep meaning of them? And in fact, this leads to a more general question. What is the origin of the Hopf algebra symmetry in string theory if it's indeed there? Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a sort of question that goes back a little. I mean, many years ago when people did the SO3 sigma model, there were all kinds of difficulties with, in particular, non-algebra Poisson brackets. And I mean, duties and the part-time practice of the non-local charges, these difficulties, as far as I know, have never been properly resolved. And now this is a much, much simpler model than the one you've been discussing. So what is the status of these old difficulties in this new framework? Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. I think there is a specialist in the audience who is responsible for partial resolution of this problem. Right. Well, there is a good indication that this problem still can be overcome because it's possible to show, and it was actually done by Nick Dory, I believe, that it's possible to reduce this complicated Poisson structure with a non-ultralocal term on the finite gap solutions. And on the finite gap solutions, you find first of all a finite dimensional integrable system, and you can consistently reduce this complicated structure with a non-ultralocal term on this finite gap, finite dimensional integrable system, and find a nice Poisson structure. So you can resolve this problem at least partially.
Well, I'd like to make a brief comment. Well, basically, the point is that there is a problem with how you regularize the Rochefort and Montague.
Yeah. But if you would like to use a usual R matrix approach somehow to invent a quantization scheme, we have to think about it very hard how to do it. Maybe returning back from to the sigma model case, which is easier than this one, definitely.
Okay, well, before we release you for the coffee break,